film festivals, community events, much, much more on this day of June the 5th. Thank you, Natty. Do you know what happens? I sit here. Oh, I've got such a handsome boy sitting in front of me. I know his father, actually. I think his father's marginally better looking, but that's because he wears...
Looks after himself more.
He does, and he wears fawn trousers, does he not? Yes.
I would call them beige.
Oh, isn't that awful? This lovely voice that we have is Dominic Frisby. He calls himself a writer, loosely, a comedian, very loosely, and a voiceover artist. Good morning to you, Dom.
Good morning, Jenny.
Now, many of you may have heard of the Upper Class Rapper.
That was an act I used to do a long time ago. Well, 10 years ago or something.
Are you not doing that anymore?
It kind of dated a bit. The comedy rap medium, lots of other people started doing it, and so I kind of dropped it. But I used to do it it was the first act I ever did, actually.
Now listen, because I want my lovely folk to phone in, you're probably going to bring it up, because you're doing my newspapers. They're all talking like we're a Cheryl. Have you seen the paper?
Yeah, I have seen the paper.
Can you do a Newcastle accent?
Well, this is, not very well is the answer to that, but this is a little story as a sideline. I was narrating a documentary the other day, and the sentence came up that these larvae travel many kilometres. And I said this, and the producer goes, no, it's not larvae, it's larvae, and it's not kilometres, it's kilometres. And we got into this big argument as to which it was. And then the sound engineer goes, no, it's not larvae, it's not larvae, it's larvae. And I was thinking, nobody says larvae. Anyway, we got into this thing, and in the end, we had to phone up the great arbiter on pronunciation, the final word on how things are pronounced, which is, of course, the BBC Pronunciation Unit. And I'm not joking, this lady answered the phone, and I heard, BBC Pronunciation Unit. And so I said, we've got this issue, is it larvae, larvae or larvae? And she went, I don't know, pet, I don't speak Latin. So it's wonderful. And then when we asked her if it was kilometres or kilometres, she goes, can you not just say mile? And
I love that.
It's brilliant. But the answer is, it's kilometres, we since discovered, as in centimetre or millimetre.
And is it larvae?
Well, larvae is correct, but larvae is acceptable because it's in common parlance.
Okay, well, so now I can teach you to do northeast accent, and I've done it before. You can say conjunctivitis.
Conjunctivitis, yeah.
Or you can say, John Paul Gaultier brought my photocopier. Say it for me, love.
John Paul Gaultier broke my photocopier.
Broke. Yeah, no.
Am I doing it wrong?
Yeah, of course.
I thought I was doing it quite well.
Well, listen, we're all talking like...
I have to say, I love the Geordie accent. I think it's one of the most lyrical, lovely accents in the UK. It brings a real kind of earthy... you can pretty much tell... You can give someone the worst possible insult in a Geordie accent, and you'll think they're... Well, I'm not going to say it on air at this time of the day, but in a Geordie accent, it sounds like you're paying them a compliment. I just think it's a lovely, lovely accent.
Well, now, listen, we're talking accents, and I don't know whether Dom can do this for me, because in the inner cities now, new dialects such as London's Jafaican...
Yeah.
A blending of Jamaican, African and Indian speech are emerging from the language patterns of immigrants... in it. So I want you to telephone. What accent do you use? How do you describe your accent? Telephone 020-7224-2000. I know it's only 9:10. It is a Sunday morning. Rise yourself. Should it be raise?
Rouse.
Oh, rouse. Rise, raise, rouse. Bonus, banar, banum. Get yourself out of bed. 020-7224-2000. Text me 81333, starting with London. And email me Jenny, J-E-N-I, Jenny at bbc.com. UK. I've got Vanessa up here because I'm sitting in for Vanessa all next week. It's Jenny at bbc.co.uk. Talk accents, how would you describe yours? 020-7224-2000. I'll see it again. Or 20-7224-2000. 2000. It sounds a bit Mumbai. Anyway,
I think it's rise or raise yourself.
Do you? Because you're not your father's son. I was going to say your father's daughter.
It's a bit like lion lay, isn't it?
It is a bit like shut up or shut up. How do you describe my accent?
I would say you are very well spoken. I wouldn't say posh, although you speak what I'm told is called standard English. What we were taught at drama school, sometimes called RP, but standard English, English. The English of the actress.
Yeah, received pronunciation. Yeah. And when I met your dad, and Dominic's dad is Terry Frisbee, who wrote This Girl in My Soup and various other wonderful things, and he's doing another brilliant show, which Dom's got a bit... what's it called?
Kisses. It's called Kisses on a Postcard, new musical, yeah.
We'll talk about that later on, which will be fantastic. But when I met your dad, because I come out of the East End, and I used to speak like that, he taught me how to say certain words, because I used to say involved and golf, and he used to say, no darling, it's involved and golf, which I still have a problem with, and alcohol.
What did you say instead of alcohol?
Alcohol.
Well, that's rather pretentious, isn't it? That's very hyacinth bouquet.
Exactly, because I got it wrong. Can I stop talking now, please? Yeah. Dom, go for it.
Yeah, well, this is the first big story of that I wanted to talk about is this an analysis. This is on the front page of the Sunday Times. There's an analysis has taken place about the evolving of accents in the UK, and there was a kind of concern, I suppose, about 10 or 15 years ago, that we were losing all our accents. And I suppose once upon a time, before radio and television, you could walk through Oxfordshire and you could tell somebody which village he came from by his accent. And with television and radio, that kind of got lost. And we had this kind of generic Cockney, Mockney, estuary sound, which denoted you were from the south, and then a kind of bland northern sound that denoted it from your north. But surprisingly, all sorts of accents are now evolving, and this one that you said, Jafaican, and you said it was, you know, Caribbean, African and Indian influence, it's also got a massive Cockney influence on it. And but this is the language of the Ute. And it doesn't matter what colour you are, and also how posh you are. I got on a bus outside a well-known public school the other day, and all the kids like got off the bus and they were all talking like this, and you know they've all got 20 grand a year like school fees and everything, and they're all giving it, you know, that. So I think giving it large is more like, you know, your kind of old-fashioned Cockney expression, which is Cockney's, your old-fashioned, you know, white Cockney man born within the sound of Bow Bells is no longer born within the sound of Bow Bells. He's gone to Essex or Kent. The evolution of accents, but the one that surprises me is the influence of the Brummie accent. Now, the Brummie accent, it's amazing how, if you listen to adverts on commercial radio, how certain accents, like if anyone wants to play a villain or a baddie in an advert on commercial radio, he's always given a Cockney accent. I don't know why it is, but that is the kind of acceptable...
Because we're our Dominic.
Well, whatever it is, but anyone, yeah. But the Brummie accent, which is essentially, which is, you know, if somebody's a bit of a fool, they'll give him a Brummie accent. I actually really like the Brummie accent, but it's a slightly more comic-sounding accent, whereas the Newcastle is a more kind of lyrical, trustworthy accent. But the Brummie accent is spreading as far as Wales. It's expanding, and it's one of the more... I don't know why, but it's becoming increasingly adopted by those in the whole of the kind of West Midlands.
Isn't that interesting? One of my dearest, closest friends, Barry Ryan, who I'm going to try and get on to do the newspapers, he's from Birmingham.
Yeah.
And he, if ever I say anything that is in any way where I feel lack of self-worth, he always says to me, pack it in, lady. And I've got it written up on my wall in my office. If I get depressed, I've got... pack it in, lady. And we're going to pack it in for a minute, and Carol Emerald is going to sing a song called A Night Like This. It's actually a really good song, so I'm going to pack it in, lady. And you're going to hear A Night Like This.
Never know if winning this
Now, what about Caro Emerald? And I'm sorry, I know that I often fade down my music, but it's because we have limited time and I have got Dominic Frisbee, who is my paper reviewer today on Sunday, June the 5th, which is World Environment Day. I've got Dominic here, who is a voiceover artist, a writer, a performer, a comedian, and we've been talking about accents.
We have been talking about accents. This is this story on the front page of the Sunday Times, and the title, the headline of the story is "They're All Talking Like War Cheryl," as in Cheryl Cole, and I think they've got this wrong. They I love Cheryl Cole and I love her accent, and I feel quite sorry for the fact that she's been ditched from being a judge in the States because the Americans apparently couldn't understand her Geordie accent. I think it, what do I know? I'm used to the Geordie accent, but I think she speaks very clearly, and it's the Americans' fault for being silly and not understanding her. But they credit her with the spread of the Newcastle accent, which is spreading, you know, across the Northeast. And I mean, it's obviously made popular by Ant and Dec and Cheryl, but I don't think one or two people can spread a whole accent. I just think these things evolve, and you know, naturally.
You think it's not like what's her name? Who taught her? Delia Smith. It's not like Cranberries and Delia Smith, that if she says buy cranberries, suddenly
She can affect the whole cranberry market.
You don't think
distortions in the
You don't think that Cheryl said, oh, we're pet, suddenly we're all doing that. Let me just go to Anita in Sutton. Good morning, Anita. Hello. Oh, my. Listen, darling Anita, turn your radio off because I'm talking back at myself. Are you there?
Reply. Radio on to try and listen to what you were saying.
There you are. It wasn't worth listening to, my darling. But you're much more interesting.
Gone wrong there.
No, I were there. Now,
hello?
Listen, welcome. Can you hear me?
Hello.
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 Hello. Listen, we're going to come back to Anita when she's not in Cape Canaveral. Is that the right? No, what was it? Cape Canaveral?
Yeah, that sounds right. I'm not entirely sure what it is or was.
It's where NASA is, isn't it?
Ah.
Yeah, you see, you're so young. Let's move on to another story. We'll get back to Anita when we can.
Yeah, the next story, I suppose, we look at. Do you want to look at a sports story or a naughty story?
I want a sport, so we'll keep naughty to end.
Okay, well, this story comes from the back page of the Daily Mail. Peter Crouch resigns, has ended his England career while Fabio Capello is in charge. And Peter Crouch, obviously the incredibly tall
Tottenham player,
well done, and a good guy, Peter Crouch. And he has been, in my opinion, treated very badly by the England management. He has a phenomenal goal-scoring record for England, a goal every other game, which is as good as anyone. And at international level, he has clearly come into his own, and yet he's never earned himself a regular place in the starting lineup and has continually been overlooked in favour of other strikers with an inferior record to him at international level. And I always like Crouch because he came out with the famous line when asked what he would have been if he wasn't a football player. He replied, a virgin. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that at this time, but I always thought that showed great self-awareness and wit. And also he did his famous robotics dance, which made him very popular.
Now, I want to know why he's resigned, or was he pushed? And
he's resigned. It's a deliberate decision because...
Is he just sick to death of being sidelined?
Exactly. And he's been very loyal, and even when he hasn't been selected to play, he's turned up to training sessions and done his bit behind the scenes. And I don't feel he doesn't feel he's had just reward, and I think he's right in saying that. And
I
mean, Fabio Capello, I'm not a fan of the England manager Fabio Capello. I think his man management is awful. I think his tactical decisions are terrible. And you know, a lot of very good players have just said, "I've had enough."
Is that normal, though, for somebody to say they don't want to play for their country? Because it's such an accolade to be asked.
It is such a big thing, but I think a lot of disillusionment with England is creeping in, and the FA, I suppose, has to take some of the blame for that. Their appointments as managers have to take some of the blame, and you know, and also the media has to take some of the blame because they get everyone so excited every time England play in a big tournament, and then England always disappoint. I can remember getting really excited about a World Cup, I think, in the 1980s, and my father rather jadedly saying, "Look, I've known this all my life. Everyone gets England all excited, and then England always disappoints."
And it's the same with Andy Murray as well. You know,
well,
the pressure.
It is. is. It is. It's the same.
Mind you, he's Scottish.
Yeah, but I mean, it's the same. The same syndrome. We got it like mad with Henman, and really, you know, Henman. People always, you know, were disappointed with Henman only ever making the semi-finals at Wimbledon. But actually, given what nature gave Tin Henman, he did the best he possibly could. You know, he wasn't a natural athlete in the way that some other tennis players are. And, you know, he made the most of what nature gave him. And the fact that he got to the semi-finals at all and was a top ten player for some time was an achievement.
Have you ever been to Wimbledon?
I have a couple of times, yeah.
Yeah, go on, tell me.
Well, it was fun. I liked it. It was a little bit stuffy for me, Wimbledon. I like going to watch the cricket, and I went to Wimbledon with the same attitude that I go to the cricket, which is, you know, drinking heavily and getting rather raucous as the afternoon wears on. And the person I was with kind of rather politely said, "You can't do that here."
And so, the person you were they English?
Yeah, he was the person I go to the cricket with.
And is he posh?
He's just an old school friend now, documentary maker.
Can you make a posh accent and say and just do him for a moment, because we're going back
to
accents.
Well, no, I tell you what, he's got the kind of thing that came up with a lot of people in the 80s and 90s, where you were kind of attacked if you were posh. And it was the kind of Guy Ritchie movement where everyone kind of made out they were less posh than they are. So he's a little bit, you know, he drops his H's and his T's a little bit, and he's a bit more like that than his education would suggest he speaks.
You know, when my daughter was growing up, you know, Tinker Tailor Soldier Sailor. No, it's not that one. What is it? Tinker Tailor Soldier.
Rich
Man
Poor Man.
No, it's not this. Yes. When she got to that one, because at school it was always, you know, TH is third. Yeah. And first, she'd every time she'd go, Tinker Tailor Soldier Sailor, Rich Man Poor Man, Beggar Man, Thief. Not Thief, Thief. Yes,
isn't it interesting that a TH would become fur by a Cockney, so you go thief, whereas now it's a teef. TH has become t, teef, in your Jaffacan.
Which is, of course, a Jaffacan. Yes. Anita in Sutton, talk to me.
Good morning to you both.
Oh,
good morning.
Oh, lovely. We have a clear line, my darling. Speak to me about accents.
And you both speak beautifully, actually. I think it's very, very important for children. I mean, a friend of mine who spoke beautifully, actually, but her daughter, whatever school that was, I would say, spoke atrociously. And, you know, coming up to 16, I said to her, I said, look, her chances of getting anywhere in life, you've got to be able to speak not posh, but to be able to be understood. And anyway, she did go to elocution classes, and she has done remarkably well. So I think it's very, very important that in junior school, actually, say about 9, 10, that they are taught correctly how to, you know, speak our language.
It depends what you want to do. Now, if, for example, you want to go and work in the city and become a banker, if you, like, go into the bank and start, like, I'm going to buy that one and sell that one, you're not going to get anywhere. People will think you're a fool. So you have to kind of adopt the language of the city, which is, you know, basically posh English. Whereas, for example, when I was at drama school in the early 90s, we had our accents drummed out of us religiously by the speech teacher. You have to learn to speak properly, because otherwise you'll never work. And there was one guy in my class from Preston who just couldn't learn. After 3 years of trying, he couldn't get standard English. And they used to say to him, you're only ever going to play street urchins from the north. And lo and behold, we left drama school, and the guys worked more than anyone else at drama school playing street urchins from the north. And it just shows you that the drama school were just totally... So, it, you know, it kind of depends what you want to do. And, you know, and if you want to be a football player and you start going, hello, chaps, let's kick the ball up the middle, and you're not going to get anywhere. So you kind of have to kind of adopt the language of the world that you're in.
Anita, how do you describe your accent?
Oh, just a London accent, quite honestly.
You can't just say just a London. Is it north, south, east or west?
It's middle.
it's middle London.
There was a time when you could tell which part of London somebody
Absolutely
was from.
You
that,
could.
That, I think that's gone. I mean, that Jaffacan is pretty much spread across London. There are probably intricacies that we can't hear that a regular speaker can.
Anita, I want you to say Tinker Tailor Soldier Sailor, Rich Man Poor Man, Beggar Man Thief. Do it. Go.
Tinker Tailor Soldier Sailor. Rich man, poor man, beggar man, thief.
Now say teeth.
Pardon?
Say beggar man, teeth.
beggar man's teeth. Well, that's wrong.
It is wrong.
It's wrong.
Anita in Sutton, you're very right and I'm very, very wrong. Wonderful. Thank you for calling. When I was, I had a drama teacher who came from South Africa.
Yes.
And she taught me a breathing exercise, which was slowly, silently, now the moon walks the night in her silver shoon. And I don't know how to say that in an not a South African accent. And also, I thought Hamlet was Hamlet. I didn't
Hamlet.
Know. I thought Hamlet was with an E, not with an A. Isn't that wonderful?
Hamlet. Yeah.
Hamlet. We've got just less than a minute before we go to the news. Quickly throw us something.
Here's a good one. This is, again, from the Sunday Times, from the business section. 500,000 people, 500,000 English people, British residents, have been found to have money stashed in offshore tax havens by the Inland Revenue. That's 500,000 naughty people keeping their assets offshore in order to get off paying tax. And the a chap from HSBC, which is, I suppose, some kind of breach. Let me see if I can find out his name. Uh, 79,000 HSBC clients from 180 countries whose identities and account details were on a disc handed to the French authorities by Hervé Falciani, an IT expert who worked for the bank in Geneva several years ago. And this list is now known as the Falciani list, and it's been passed to tax departments across Europe. And so all these naughty people are now being investigated, and the customs, HM Revenue and Customs are hoping it's going to bring them lots of income.
Oh, chance would be a fine thing. That I had some spare cash to put it offshore.
Well, there you go. You're not going to get it. Well, that brings me to my next story,
well,
actually.
Well, we'll do that, because I kind of haven't got enough money to put into Fenchurch. It's now, that street, not a place. It's now 9.30 and it's Headlines with Katie Dartford.
Good morning. The Yemeni president, Ali Abdullah Saleh, has flown to Saudi Arabia for hospital treatment after being injured in an attack on Friday. There are reports that nine soldiers have been killed and their convoys were ambushed by Al-Qaeda in the south of the country. A British soldier who was killed by insurgents in southern Afghanistan on Friday has been named. Corporal Michael John Pike served with the 4th Battalion, the Royal Regiment of Scotland. A teenager's been stabbed in Lambeth. Police found the man in Frederick Crescent last night. He's now in a serious condition in hospital. Meanwhile, officers are investigating after a man died in Kingston. He was found in Cambry Park Road last night and died later in hospital. Three men have been charged in connection with a security alert at a branch of the Co-op Bank in Watford on Thursday morning. The men are all 23 and from Luton. One works for the bank. They're charged with conspiracy to steal, conspiracy to commit a bomb hoax and theft. The Shadow Chancellor, Ed Ball, said he'll try to force the government to introduce a tax on bonuses paid to bankers. He'll try to amend the government's finance bill in the Commons. Mr Ball said the money could help young people into work. And a group of academics are opening a new university in London, which they claim will rival Oxford and Cambridge. The new College of the Humanities is due to open in Bloomsbury next September, will charge fees of £18,000 a year. London's weather, dry with some hazy sunshine, but further showers may develop later this afternoon. Feeling cooler with a high of 22 degrees Celsius. Those are the headlines. Pippa has the travel.
Thanks, Katie, with the BBC London 94.9 Travel. Minor delays on the Jubilee line following some overrunning engineering work earlier this morning. And then closed on the northbound M40 if you're heading out of London. Junctions 4 to 5, High Wycombe up towards Stoke and Church following an accident. Overturned lorry in Kingston means Kingston Bridge is closed heading in towards the town centre. And traffic lights are out on the King's Road at the Old Church Street Junction near Cineworld. So that one worth looking out for. Central London, Regent Street is closed off for the Taste of Spain Festival today. There are closures too on some of the side roads. Puddle in the Park at Hurlingham means routes through Fulham could get busy, and it's the Heavy Horse Show at Capel Manor, just off Junction 25 of the M25. The Enfield Interchange could be busy as a result of that. Pippa Sparks, BBC London 94.9, the next travel at 10.
This is Jenny Barnett.
Jenny Barnett.
Sunday mornings from 9.
BBC London 94.9.
So quiet. Shh, shh. so still. Shh, shh, you're all alone. Shh, shh, and so peaceful until.
Now that's Björk. And her accent is a cross between Mockney, Icelandic, and...
I guess there must be a heavy American influence there as well. I love that song. Isn't it a lovely song?
So you like everything.
No, I don't.
You don't. You might not like this next
thing.
Don't
like Traffic.
Yeah, well, you don't like Traffic. Oh, you don't like Traffic, the band.
I didn't mean the band. I didn't know there was a band called Traffic. I meant the thing that holds you up from doing what you want to do.
Do you like Weather Report, the band?
The old kind of 70s jazz funky kind of. Yeah, I do.
It's a bit like our news, our weatherman. He's old and funky in 70s. Morning, John.
I'm not talking to you. Old and funky.
Funky for sure. Describe your accent to us.
Well, I call it West Yorkshire, but I suppose it's been modified to some degree by being in the media for 30 years, and it's travelled around the country as well.
So the Ketley family, John, did you grow up with a very broad Yorkshire accent?
Aye, well, then it was a lot stronger than it is now. There's no doubt about that, but, it does change a bit when the nose goes on telly, so it's bound to change.
Oh, it's lovely. I can tell there's a Leeds thing that my husband does, which is a Bart.
Yeah.
He said, you didn't say a Bart, it sounds awful.
A Bart. Well, a Bart is a little bit more North Nottinghamshire, you know.
Yes, that's what he would say. Oh, yeah. Listen to us, John.
Yeah, we're off, aren't we, now? No time for the weather.
Yes, there is. Speak to me weather-wise.
But according to the Geordie accent is spreading into Yorkshire, according to that accent.
This is Dominic Frisby.
Yeah, good morning, Dominic.
Morning.
I don't think Yorkshire would allow any sort of spread from the north, would it? It wouldn't allow. Yorkshire's too big. It's powerful. It stops everything.
Oh, it's God's own country. Give me
champion.
Give me some.
Happiness stops at Yorkshire.
Summit weather, please. Tinternet.
It's grim.
It is grim up yonder. It's not so good down there either. But you're just taking me back to my grammar school days. You wouldn't imagine my English teacher would let me talk like that, would you? But he did. But that's probably why I failed it. First time.
You didn't.
No, I did first time. English literature I failed. I passed the grammar.
You're right, like the phoenix, aren't you, love? Rising from ashes.
Are you a fan of Jake Thackeray? I've been listening to a lot of the music of Jake Thackeray.
I saw Jake Thackeray at college 30 odd years ago, He's from Halifax, the nurse. Same birthplace as myself.
We like Halifax. Will you please give us some weather?
Yes, we're digressing, aren't we? Now the weather's got a bit belly up. And we can say that wherever they want. It has changed a little bit now, and it was pretty hot yesterday. Still, we had that lovely day for the derby down at Epsom. But today it's not so good. There's some cloud around this morning. It's just going to be a bit of hazy sunshine on October day, so temperatures not as high as they were yesterday. It's about 15 currently. Should get up to 21 degrees given the following breeze. But the trouble is the winds are north to northeast today, which is still our warmest direction. And even now there are some little light showers showing up over Kent. So it looks like we will see a few showers coming in during the morning, just settling the dust, no more than that. I think it's the warmth of the day will bring in some heavier showers, perhaps through the afternoon and certainly into this evening and overnight. Not only homegrown showers, but they will be imported from the near continent as well. So there's a very high risk, I think, today of some real heavy downpours coming in from the southeast, affecting the London area. So watch out for that. But, of course, it could be good news for the gardens. We are still crying out for some water. Tomorrow morning, then, after the overnight rain, it'll clear away very quickly, I would think. Just the odd shower left in the morning. And then fresher winds coming in from the west during the day. Top temperatures 20 degrees with some sunshine to follow. But a bit of a mixed bag. Anybody on holiday this week, it's not the greatest of weeks. I don't think the rain will be amounting to an awful lot after tonight. But there'll be sprinkles coming in from the west from time to time most days during the week. Temperatures hovering around 18 or so, which is 64 Fahrenheit, Jenny.
Thank you very much. Go to the bottom of our stairs or something like that. Anyway, John Ketley. We'll hear more from John Ketley in the weather later on. I'm Jenny Barnett. This is BBC London 94.9. It's 9:38 on the morning of June the 5th, 2011. We're talking about accents with Dominic Frisby, my newspaper reviewer, who's lovely, does lots of voiceovers, is a comedian. comedian, is a writer. You may have heard him on the radio yourself. If you want to talk to me about accents, 0207 224 2000. I'll say it again, 0207 224 2000. Text me 81333, starting with London, or email me jenny1m1i@bbc.co.uk. This is from Wendy. Actually, I'm going to get Dominic to read this, because you might make more sense of the second word. Go on, he's sight reading. Go. It's from Wendy.
Jenny, what a joy it was last night to listen to that beautifully spoken 12-year-old who I believe came second in the talent contest last evening. Not an in it, nah, I mean, to be heard. Well done, his parents, Wendy.
Yeah, because he didn't win. I didn't watch it. I didn't actually watch it. Just before I go back to Dominic, we were talking music. Frank in Bow, you lovely, lovely boy. How did your show go last night?
It was fantastic. It wasn't on last night. What time was it? Friday.
I couldn't make it. Frank in Bow did a show on the King's Road at the Pheasantry, and I was meant to be going, but I had to go at the last minute to Hampstead Theatre Club to see the RSC, which is also a brilliant show.
No worry, my darling. There will be some proof. Will be on YouTube at some point.
All right, my darling. Now, listen, I want you to speak to Dominic.
Good morning, Dominic.
Good morning, Frankie.
I don't want you to say a word about where you came from. I just want you to speak, and I want to see if Dom can guess it. Go.
That should be very interesting, because I had, over my stay in London, various guesses from people where I was from. And my show went really well. I did sing music by Kurt Weill. I sang songs from...
When I first heard you speak, Frank, I thought Italian, and I now withdraw that thought, and it's somewhere in Western Europe, and because you said Kurt Weill, I want to say Austria or Germany, but you don't sound that Austria or German, and you don't sound to be French, so I'm going to guess Switzerland.
It actually is German.
Ah, okay, there we
go. It's German,
but you don't have a very strong German accent. You speak English. Your English is so good that I can't trace where you. I can hear that you're not English, but it's very hard to place where you're from.
Yes, sometimes I get South African. People sometimes ask me whether I'm from South Africa.
That influence is heavily influenced by the Dutch, of course.
No, it's because of your politics, exactly. Frank. It's got absolutely nothing to do with your accent. Listen, why because Dom is an actor and we were both trained at drama school. Has your accent ever got in the way of anything?
It probably has gotten in the way of that... I'm not really good with various, local English accents. So I'm better with the European, French, Italian. So, yes, it does limit me.
So if I ask you to say lovely jubbly in an East End, say lovely, say Frank, say lovely jubbly, Jenny, like you're from the East End.
Lovely jubbly, Jenny. really
it. Now say lovely jubbly, Jenny, as if you're from Austria.
Lovely jubbly, Jenny.
Listen, Frankie, I don't want to talk to you anymore, although I could talk to you forever and a day. I'm so thrilled that your show went well, and it'll be on YouTube. What do we look for?
It's basically my channel on YouTube is FrankFL1969, and Google that or search for that on YouTube, and that's where all my videos for my shows are.
Oh, Frank, it's lovely. I love to hear you.
So you're 41 years old?
42.
42 okay.
Since 2 weeks.
Oh, listen to us. Well, listen, auf Wiedersehen, mein Liebling.
Auf Wiedersehen, mein Schatz. Hab einen schönen Sonntag.
What does that mean?
Have a lovely Sunday.
Frankie Bo, fantastic.
Ich liebe dich.
I didn't know you spoke German.
I don't. I got an O level in German, but I hardly remember it.
Really? Do you speak other languages?
I do, yeah.
What do you speak?
Italian, French, Spanish.
Are you fluent in all those?
Fluent in Italian, decent Spanish, and decent French.
Fluent in Italian?
Yeah.
So say lovely jubbly in Italian.
Che buono, meraviglioso, non lo so. I don't know, say lovely jubbly, innit?
Carry on with your story. We're going to get another call up in a moment. Now, we were talking about...
Yeah, we were talking about all these naughty people who've been stashing their money offshore. And, yes, the HMRC is creating a directorate to focus on offshore accounts as part of a billion pounds pledged by the coalition to combat tax cheats. And it's going to use a new IT system that analyses data on individuals' pay and lifestyle to flag up potential dodgers. So I suppose if you're on really low pay and you're driving around in a BMW, that will set off some kind of alarm bell. Yes, the system looks for anomalies between where people live, their financial assets, and how much tax they pay.
Now, you write for a money magazine.
Well, I do write for a money magazine. I write for Money Week magazine. I write a weekly column for them. So I'm very interested in things financial. And that actually brings me on to my next story, if you like, which is this David Smith, who's the... writes the economic outlook for the Sunday Times, talks about the weak pound. Now, in this financial crisis that's taken place, what we have now is a situation where inflation is at something like 5 or 5.5%, depending on which measure you use. You can only get 1% or 2% in a bank if you put money in the bank. So by holding cash, you're losing money. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You're losing kind of 3 or 4% a year by holding cash. And these interest rates have been suppressed to levels that they've never been at throughout history, basically to stop the whole system imploding. But what has happened is that people who've saved are paying the penalty, whereas people who've gotten themselves into loads of debt are actually laughing because they're, for example, their mortgage repayments are very low, or whatever, you know, wherever they have. So it's rewarded debtors and penalised savers. But there's another way that savers have been hurt, that people who hold cash, and that is by the fact that sterling has fallen so badly on the foreign exchange markets, and it hasn't rebounded. So that now, if you want to go to Europe for your summer holiday, it's going to cost you an absolute fortune. And you know, you're going to wince every time you buy a cup of coffee in France or Italy or, you know, wherever you are. And so, you know, basically, anyone who holds cash has been really badly hurt on two fronts. One is we have this inflation thing that everyone knows about, but two, by the fact that sterling is so weak.
And you suggest what in 10 seconds?
Well, my big thing has always been buy gold. And even though gold's at record highs, I still think it's the only way to protect yourself against the destruction of currency by inflation.
I need you to say that in a Jamaican accent.
Look, man, you've got to buy the bling.
It's 9:45, and on this day in 1956, and I will come to Colin in Epsom after this, I promise, in 1956, Elvis Presley introduced his new single on the Milton Berle Show, scandalising the audience with his suggestive hip movements. Gimme Hound Dog,
you
Elvis.
Ain't nothing but a hound dog, crying all the time.
Listen, this is the King singing, and my God's gift yesterday told me what hound dog meant, and I can't remember because I don't listen to him.
What is it? I don't know.
I can't remember. If you know what you're singing about, you ain't nothing but a hound dog, then remind me. 0207-224-2000. I'll say it again. 0207-224-2000. I'm sorry. God gifts talk. And because he talks about golf a lot and cars and various things that boys find interesting, I don't listen to him. Hi, Jenny. This is Lisa in Fulham. You haven't addressed the influence of the American accent. Actually, it's not so much the accent as the vocabulary. Yeah, my least favourite at the moment is...
But she's absolutely right.
We're going to talk about this in a moment. But she also... you know that thing now... we say of instead of with. What is it? What is the one I hate? Well, I'll think of it in a minute. I bring this up, however, not because I think it's bad that we're using words from across the pond. I think it's silly and blinker to get uptight about this. As far as I'm concerned, this is how a language becomes richer and more nuanced, and therefore we need to embrace it. And Lisa says, bye for now. Off to have a cookie. Don't be funnier than us, actually. Please don't.
What is so wonderful about language is that you just, whatever some kind of regulators or anyone, you just cannot control it. It goes where it's going to go. It completely evolves naturally.
Like,
I mean, for example, France are desperately trying to protect the integrity of the French language and stop the Anglicism of the French language. And there was a stage maybe 100 years ago where was French or English going to be the international language? And for various reasons, English won out, and the French never seem to have got over it. There are all sorts of initiatives in Wales to try and protect the Welsh language, and they just don't work. Either it will survive or it won't survive, and there's just nothing you can do.
But
you can try, but it's, you know.
Well, it's that thing, isn't it, about GM crops? You know, we're going to stop people spraying with GM, as if you can actually stop a wind gust.
Yeah.
Blowing it.
Exactly.
But the expression I loathe, which has come from America, is I'm bored of it. I cannot bear that. I'm bored with it, not I'm bored of it. Oh. But now even...
So, but I'm bored of it. It's just totally normal to me.
Oh, I don't mind. I could have done... Yeah, I could have done it. Now, this is me being old and British. Mm-hmm. Maybe. I don't know. Are you there, Colin in Epsom?
Yes, I am. Yes, hi, Jenny.
Jolly good morning to you, my darling.
Morning to you.
Do you hate I'm bored of it too?
Yeah, I do. And maybe the other one you're thinking of was should... Not should have or could have, but could of.
Yeah.
You can't bear it.
That's annoying.
Now, does Dominic like that one?
No. Should of is just wrong. But that's come from should have...
That's
and then
right.
People, yeah, I can remember writing should of and getting a stern rebuke from my father.
Yeah, cause, so you hate bad accents on adverts, Colin.
Well, that's right. There was a phase where, Dominic does the voiceovers. There was a phase when...
I've just seen Tony Blackburn walk past and I'm incredibly starstruck.
Can you stop it? Colin from Epsom on the line.
I'm so sorry, Colin. Absolutely. The use of accents in an advert.
That makes one of us who's starstruck.
Go on, darling Colin, go.
Okay, yeah, it's the... We had a phase of soft Scottish accents. Inducing what you might say confidence when they were trying to sell products.
Yeah, they did a study and it was concluded that people trusted the Scottish accent more, and hence Scottish got used loads in advertising. And in a disproportionate sense in relation to the amount of Scots there are in relation to the rest of Britain. But for some reason, people trust the Scottish accent.
So that's why we have so many Scottish newsreaders, Colin. Do you like that or not?
I like it when you do it, yes, but then I know what you look like simply from your voice, and I've been in love with you.
Oh, darling, do you know, I had an Afghan driver this morning, beautiful Kabul, he said, give him a mention, I will, and Kabul said, oh, I thought you were in your 20s, and then I saw your picture, and I thought you were in your 40s, and I nearly tipped him, Colin.
Well, I've got about 10 years plus on you, and to me, you're just a slip of a girl. Anyway, back to accents.
Yeah, back to accents.
The I will avoid the co-op because of this wretched good with food thing.
Ah, okay.
Oh, it turns me over. And also, very quickly off programme.
Do it slowly, go on.
The BBC run, I'm sure that the BBC actually have a department of silly voices, because when they trail programmes, the voice...
that comes to explain what's coming on is in the mood or tries to be in the mood of what's the programme supposed to be about.
Careful, Colin, I do a lot of those trails.
You do? OK. What are you told to do, then?
No, well, you're hired, most voices, it's a lot of actors who do those trails, and, most people have, I don't know, 1, 2, 3, 5, or 10 reads that they do, and they're hired for a particular read.
What's
usually,
a read?
A read, you know, a style of voice that you do when you're...
Did you know it's called a read, Colin?
I do now, yes, I'm going to use that term.
And now, Colin, how do you describe your accent?
Well, it's just South London, Clapham, and I now try, because I've got grandchildren, lots of grandchildren, but they talk okay. One of them's a bit was it Jamaica, whatever it is.
No, just get it right. Jamaican, yes.
Jamaican, yes.
How old are you, Colin?
I'm 71.
Oh, you sound much younger. You sound
71?
Much younger.
Yeah.
I would have said late 40s, 50s.
Oh, thank you very much, Steve.
I wouldn't. I would have said 35.
That aside, lifelong immaturity shows through, doesn't it?
Well, it does. But, Colin, have you got any money in an offshore bank account?
No, I haven't. Only very conventionally onshore.
Onshore, but it's no good.
Which hasn't done me any good at all.
Can you say good with food again, please?
Good with food.
And that means you won't go to the co-op?
I avoid the co-op now. I walk past it and go to Waitrose.
Well, thank you, darling Colin. I'm going to let you go, Colin Epsom. Can you do one of those kind of sexy foodie voices, Dom? This is Dominic Frisbee, voiceover artist.
What do they say? I did some Sainsbury's ads once upon a time, but it was all kind of enthusiastic with lovely pork sausages with lashings of da 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 da.
No, we want the sexy one.
What is it? It's all, but it's a woman's voice, isn't it?
No,
Marks
it's
and
not.
Spencer's. All that kind of sexy,
No, the guy that's doing it now, who I love, is the actor. Oh, beautiful actor. I forget his name. With M in his, two M's. He's the actor that...
Michael McIntyre. I don't know.
No, don't be so
Magnus Magnusson.
Stop it. Eminem.
Eminem.
Can you do Eminem saying good with food? Do it.
I don't know how Eminem sounds. Good with food, innit? Yeah. I don't know how he sounds.
Tony Blackburn is, of course, coming up at 12 o'clock, and it made Dominic go all silly and gooey because he's star... You should be starstruck with me.
I am incredibly starstruck.
You're a fibber. This is from Stephen in Sullivan. Read it, please.
Stephen Sullivan says, "Morning, Jenny. I dropped off dome slates on a site in Woolwich, and the agent, a little Sikh fella, said, 'Put them over there, mate, in a Dick Van Dyke style.' He then told an Indian labourer to help me and sounded like Mahatma Gandhi. He then barked orders at a West Indian painter like Bob Marley. He was a verbal chameleon and would have confounded Professor Higgins, Harry the Roofer."
Isn't that
very funny?
No, Harry the Roofer.
Harry the Roofer.
Oh, I just love it. I love it. Do you have a favourite? You said
you do change your... accent, and I've listened. You do change it to according to who you're speaking to. You know, for example, if you're with a taxi driver, you start dropping your H's. It's just an inevitable thing. I don't know why you think
unto thyself be true.
The taxi driver's less likely to rip you off if you drop your H's or something. I don't know what the thinking behind it is.
Yeah, I always do that thing. No, I come from the East End. And people say no. I used to have a geezer when I was on the other radio station who got so angry with me. Because I used to admit that I was born in Mile End and I lived in Aldgate and he hated me for it. Because I sounded, I was, grew up in the eastern end of London town. Do you have one final story? You've got about 20 seconds on this.
I haven't really actually got a final story. I'm looking at the Daily Mail here, so I'll do the back page of the Daily Mail, which is Chelsea want both Hiddink and Hughes. Now, Mark Hughes is the Fulham manager and resigned this week in rather strange circumstances. He was believed to have resigned for the Aston Villa job, and then Aston Villa turned around after he'd resigned and said, no, he's not got the job. So Hughes has kind of resigned and not got a job. And I'm a Fulham fan, and I think I love the way Fulham play, and it's a great shame that Hughes has resigned.
You are mistaking me for somebody who gives. I couldn't care
less. There
this.
You go. Well, you asked me for a story, and I was looking at a picture of Mark Hughes. So let's talk about offshore bank accounts.
It's the end of the football season, and after that, it could be the end of your career. That this is Dominic Frisby. He will be back. He not only sounds great, he looks great.
I won't talk about football.
You can talk about anything you like. We love having you on. He will be back. And if you want to find out more about Dom, if you want to book him to say lovely jubbly in French, please, go for it.
Lovely jubbly.
You go to his website. Do your website, please, in Spanish.
My website is dominicfrisby.net, if you want to go there. But it's only kind of an archive of old material. It's a useful way to email me. I'm not a very good salesman. Dominicfrisby.net.
That's lovely. He's lovely. It's because he's been brought up proper by his dad. Coming up after 10, we're going to be talking about biological fathers. How important is it to know your biological parent? There's a guy, number 150, out in the States who has 53 siblings who've just got to know each other in this extraordinary documentary called Donor Unknown, and I'm going to be talking to the main protagonist in that. It's an extraordinary film, and she's also extraordinary. If you have a story about your biological father or somebody who doesn't know their biological father, if you were a donor, if you bought an egg, telephone.
Have you seen the film The Kids Are All Right?
Brilliant film. Brilliant, brilliant film. Wonderful film. I voted for it in BAFTA. Yeah, about lesbian parents. Wonderful film with Mark Ruffalo, who I'm in love with.
Isn't he just the sexiest man ever?
Can I get on with my job?
Sorry.
020-722-4200. That's 020-722-4200. Dominic Frisby, he's just like his father, and I was in love with his father, so there you go. It's exactly 9:58, and it's Travel with a delicious Pippa Sparks.
Thank you very much, Jim.